Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Embrace Your Neurostyle series, and I feel really fortunate. I kicked off this particular series in fall of 2021 with Kirk Patrick Miller. Kirk is back, and he is an award-nominated author, violinist, and he has alchemized his mood symptoms and been able to channel them in such a positive way. He has the Western diagnosis of bipolar 1, ADHD, OCD, and generalized anxiety. But I just know Kirk as Kirk. And I also know Kirk is highly creative, intuitive, wise, kind soul. And Kirk, it's just an honor to have you back on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. And it's kind of startling to see that was in 2021. Everything's been a blur over the last couple of years for, I think, most people. Thank you for the introduction and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, you know, everyone, as you know, I like to have fun. You know, I do playful interviews, I do serious ones. And Kirk, for me, I met Kirk on a journey way back on social media in 2017, I believe, maybe even 2016. And Kirk, I've got to see Kirk sort of grow up, and he's got to see me grow up. We always are growing up, right, Kirk?
Agreed. And well, it was such a, you know, especially when we met and how we got to know each other, really was kind of at a building phase for me, because I had just gotten on Twitter. I think it was even before that. But we really started connecting around, I think, 2016 or 2015. Yeah.
You know, what just came to mind? I talk about following, you know, the moment of now, being in mindful awareness, and I know what I want to deep dive and ask you, but can you give everyone a window? And you and I've had some really unique communication situations that it's like almost like there are no coincidences when we've reached out to each other. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. There were quite a few times when, I was going through quite a few different things. I don't like to call them, difficulties. They were, challenges that had to be faced and met. And quite a few of those times, our paths crossed it, in an ideal, it's an ideal timing. I can't say it any other way. And that really helped, especially because of your approach and how you were speaking about mental health. So the whole concept of neurostyle was something that really was empowering for me. You always caught me at the right moments, I am forever grateful for.
So I just want to jump in. You know, relationships for me are sacred. They're reverent. When I'm in the pool, I'm going to put a link to Kathleen and I. You know, Kathleen, we're going to be doing some work together. Kirk, Kathleen and I. Kathleen and I did a show on trusting your gut and talking about intuition. So what's happened since I've met Kirk, and pay attention, everyone, when you look at sort of the people that you're vibing towards that have the same either vision or mission, when I'm in the pool, I do my meditation and prayers. But it seems like the times I reached out to Kirk, just like I mentioned in my trusting your gut, I would get his name three times, or his name would just pop into awareness. And that's when I just don't ever question. And I would pick up the phone. And so Kirk and I not only have done shows together, but we've had some really profound off-air conversations of ascension and growth. And to me, that is the joy of life, when you get to know someone at their happy moments, their vulnerable moments. But sometimes you're just so connected with an unseen energy, you just end up picking up the phone at the right time in the right place.
Oh, and it always happened to be, especially in a time that I would say is, I'm trying to think of the right wording for this. There were moments of change. So they were, people kind of, nothing is ever perfectly linear. We wish it could be, but typically, there's a growth and then there's a plateau and maybe there's
okay,
a little
ready,
dip down.
Ready, hold on. Profanity alert. It's all divinely fucked up. Perfect.
Absolutely.
So you and I have gotten to know each other on a deeper dive at different states of change. So Kirk, everyone, he is just so amazing in the way he uses his gifts. And I was thinking about creativity, mood state, awareness, how you've mastered your understanding of your neurostyle to you know, just tell us a little window into who you are as a musician and teacher. And then also, I want to talk about your newest book that's out and just creativity.
Well, for me, I've always loved being creative. Ever since I was really little, if they had us, you know, write a paper in school, I would always ask the teacher, you know, can I write a story instead? They never wanted me to do that. And again, now they wanted me to follow protocol, so everybody in the class was doing the same project. So I understood, but it was really frustrating. I loved drawing as a child. writing was something that I did. The only time I ever got to do something that was creative writing was in second grade. And I think there was actually something in kindergarten too, but in second grade, I wrote this story and got to read it for the school board. And honestly, when I did that, it's something clicked. And so I love writing. And I wrote my first book when I was actually 18. And that was, you know, it was my first one. So not really great until the very end. But there was this moment where I got goosebumps at the very end. And I knew it was something I loved doing. And the second one that I did, I was 19. And I did actually get an official offer from a traditional publisher. I was at the time dealing with bipolar. So I thought that they were out to steal my book and my idea. So I turned down the opportunity. And I did not get published at that time. I still have the book. And, you know, I need to go back and figure out my filing system.
I just want to do like a respectful... wow, that's such a great example, because what I like to do before I do interviews, I get really excited. I made sure I have my cup of coffee. People know I like to sort of tune in and be like, yes, I get to talk to Kirk. And I like to clear the slate. I told myself, pretend as though you don't even know Kirk. Like, this is just your time to have this time with him, just like maybe people listening to us for the first time. So right when you just said that your book at 19, you had this offer, but your mood state at the time didn't allow you at that moment to go down that path. So you've had twists and turns in your own mood states like we all do, but then it would be interesting if you were to ever do a timeline of your creative moments, your mood states, ADD, OCD states, you know, states of feeling states, right? So when I'm saying neurostyle, we talk about, Kirk knows this, that it's defined as we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And there's the fabulous five: biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual, and then the sixth sense, intuition. I'm going to put links back to other shows that Kirk and I've done so you can have some deep dives on some moments of Kirk. But for the moment of right now, Kirk, you just gave an example about your written work, and at that time, your mood state not allowing that to blossom. Can you take us on your journey right now of the book that was released a decade ago, your new one, and like what that's like for you and your success, not only with publishing, but your success in your life?
Well, you know, when you bring that up, it's, I had somewhat of a revelation over the last few days, honestly. And one of them was, I have been running from success and feeling unworthy of it for so long. And even with, you know, self-promotion, this is something I never liked doing. And
oh my God, wait, are you kidding me? Shut the front door, because I thought today is the day I'm like, Kirk and I've done so many shows. I want to talk about his books. I want to promote him. You've just got books that are out and we're going to do work together, but you've got real books that are out there in the world that are amazing. So isn't that kind of cool? Like, you and I didn't even talk about that. That's what's been going on for you for the last few days. And I didn't know until I pulled up in my driveway and I was pulling patient charts, taking a deep breath and tuning into you, because I do these rituals I do to kind of clear the slate to be in the moment of now. And I opened up your books. The reason why I met you a little late on the link, I have them next to me. Just so you guys know, and I know I'm going to let you, I know you just said running from success in the last 2 days, but I literally have Dawn of Davna, by Kirkpatrick Miller and his author elite edition of Chaos to Cured. And we're going to talk about those. But what Kirk's saying is he has a realization of how can he connect once he's produced his artwork, whether, and I wonder how it is as a teacher as well, but how do you kind of integrate into your own empowerment of getting your work out to the world?
Well, you know, I think the most interesting part of the realization is, you know, when you look back and, you know, at least for me, always feeling guilt over the past, whether I, you know, harmed my family with my mood swings, I always felt this tremendous amount of guilt and shame over the person I was. And I also felt guilt about whatever talent I might have. Why should I be able to write a book or paint or play the violin or, you know, why do I have these gifts? And I felt very undeserving of them because of the mental health struggles I went through. And, you know, for so long, I was told time and time again, you know, you're not going to be able to function. You might have a hard time keeping a relationship. You might have a hard time keeping a job. You know, you might feel broken. You're going to be on medication for the rest of your life. I mean, it was just a bombardment of all of this information coming from well-meaning sources. The doctors and, you know, psychiatrists and therapists that I worked with were never meaning to push me down. But when you hear that enough times, it makes you question things. And of course, I had objective data where I had caused harm. I had explosions, you know, manic outbursts, that kind of stuff. And so for pretty much the last, you know, 20 years of my life, I haven't felt like I was worthy of any success. So I downplayed my teaching ability. I downplayed my books. I never spoke about them. Most of my students have no idea I even wrote a book. Unless they Google
me. Can I say something? I have a book, Mental Health and How to Thrive, and I never mentioned it. I honestly, you know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I never turned it into something like, cause I thought full. So I don't know if you could relate to this. Then I want to talk about your books. But when I started out my Dr. Denise brand, I was so into this almost like judgment that so many people, like I make my living as a doctor, and I knew eventually I would do workshops with the Dr. Denise brand, but it's almost like it was so sacred. I wanted to give this knowledge as a wisdom gift, but we're in the earth realm, and sometimes you need to promote your actual written word or your book or your workshop so you can reach more people. I know your process is yours and mine's mine, but when you and I and Kathleen were talking about work we can do together, I remember how I almost like forgot I had that. Remember how that day when we were having that meeting and I'm like, oh my gosh, we could integrate parts of this and the work you've done and Kathleen, right?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, for I kept running from opportunities, to be honest. So when I first published Chaos to Cured. So the first edition doesn't have an epilogue or a prologue. Actually, I think it has a prologue, but it was an outdated one. And you know, one of the main comments that kept coming up was, you know, well, what happened? Well, you know, we get this sense at the end of the book, but what happened after that? And I didn't want to write or publish a second edition. I didn't want to have an epilogue until I had enough years under my belt with stability. Because when you write about, I mean, the title of the book, Chaos to Cured, you know, it's a very bold statement. And
I am holding this. We're going to put pictures on the site, but it's just, first of all, I'm holding your book. I'm just going to echo what Kirk just said, a bold statement. I'm holding this gorgeous book, Chaos to Cured. The artwork is amazing. I mean, oh my gosh. Kirk, did you design that artwork?
I designed both the covers for both the books, actually.
Oh my gosh.
So the Donna Davna one is the background is actually an oil painting that I did. And then the figure that I did on the front is, I did with Photoshop. And then for that one, I really wanted to, my original book cover, I did that as well, but I had two chess pieces, one that was red and one that was clear. And a lot of people didn't get the symbolism of, you know, what bipolar is, what, how messy things get with life, and that clarity that comes after. So the second book, so for people that are listening that can't see it, there's a person pretty much in a meditative state. It's just a silhouette. And half of the body is really spiky. There's flames in the background. And the other side is smooth. So the body, there's no mark. It's completely smooth. And then there's water in the background. So a lot of my life was fire and brimstone, so to speak. And every single day was an absolute disaster. Now,
wait. Do I have your permission to, at this moment, read the back of your book and just get people engaged? So I am holding this amazing book. Here we go, everyone. 10 years after defeating the severe bipolar disorder that nearly tore his life apart, Kirk returned with a revised and updated edition of Chaos to Cured, a memoir of positivity, light, and hope. Then it gives your bio, which I will put in the show notes, but you're an award-winning nominated author, violinist, and I'm not even going to say the diagnoses because we know what those are, but you're Kirk. Now, 10 years afterwards, this book is for hope and perseverance. It says stable and successful. Mr. Miller runs a music institute, is a professional painter, author, speaker, and radio personality. And there's more here, but I just want to tell you that here we go. And I love this. Mr. Miller believes that each and every individual can attain their potential with work, faith in themselves, and the understanding that what is often seen as a weakness is actually our greatest source of power. He stands firm in his belief that the key to living a fulfilling life is accepting and loving the person we are, all while turning our hardships into wisdom, love, and compassion for all. And Kirk, that's why. So Kirk, how does it, when I read parts of the back of your cover for this new book, are you connected to the words, or what's it like right here in this moment?
The funny part is, you know, I've gone through and edited, but hearing the words, it doesn't even feel like, you know, it feels like something I would say, but the fact I wrote that is, you know, a little bit strange to have it heard back. I've never watched a performance of myself on the radio or anything like that. And it goes back to that same thing. I have always been great at giving other people advice on how to move past some of the struggles they have. I've not always been good about taking the advice myself. And I'm starting to do that. And, you know, that's one reason I've loved teaching. So for like everything that was just read on the back of that, I believe 100%. Part of what I had to do before I was even able to write the second edition and write the epilogue was I really had to kind of deep dive to myself. Dive deep and look at where I was at, where I came from, what my struggles were, why I still felt stuck and time was an issue. And you know, everything kind of came back to this realization that I had never really loved the person I was. I, you know, again, felt this overwhelming sense of shame. And part of the reason I've come out of that is because of the word neurostyle and the way you helped me see how to look at what I was dealing with instead of, you know, using it as a label that defines me. It's something that enhances me. And for, you know, all the people that are listening that have ever struggled, and there's not a single person on the planet that has not had a sad day or that hasn't struggled in some way.
Or also, you know, I was thinking, Kirk, and I really, first of all, I need to be in the connection to right now in your words. And I think lots of times when we're having conversations with each other one-on-one, doing that mindful pause, one way of taking in a compliment or being reverent is to pause. Like, you just made a comment that's really sweet about our connection. So I just want to thank you for that. And that's part of how we become more aware of our feelings, right? When we actually don't go frenetically on to the next. So I just want to thank you for that. I made the decision. I was about to say, and some days are just messy, right? There's messy days, messy situations. And I even decided lots of times I like to have my bed made. I've still been doing telehealth. I do have an office that I go into occasionally, but today I decided it was going to be a messy day because I looked at my day and in a good way. I saw, oh my gosh, I get to interview Kirk. Oh my goodness, I have this. I said, Denise, just let your house be a little messy today. But it was a choice instead of a, oh man, now you didn't do this. You're not caught up. So I took control of the moment of now and reduced my stress level by saying, you can allow this. And I know you on your journey, maybe you can give us a window into a synopsis of the chaos to cure, but can you give people also tips on how you stay more present and aware of different mood states so you can have your best day? So my example is, I was like, I put good music on. I'm like, yay, I get to talk to Kirk. And then I'm like, okay, Denise, you need 5 extra minutes to go into this interview and enjoy it. So tell Kirk that. Then I looked at my room. I'm like, you know what? It's kind of messy, but it's going to be a messy day. And so I decided that that's going to be the way I can be in the moment and enjoy the moment and have less stress. Because sometimes, no matter if we have a diagnosis or no diagnosis, we all have mood states. Our neurostyles come with all different flavors, right?
Absolutely. Well, for me, one of the things that I struggled with for a long time is just feeling like, you know, I was even deserving to live. To be completely honest, and I mean, the whole reason to do the work that I do is so people understand, you know, what you can come back from. And you know, for me, you know, I just kind of wondered why I was in existence, why I was here. Aww. And it was something that, you know, for me, for the longest time, that's how I felt. And, you know, I kind of built a life around that.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to just get in the moment.
No,
right when
ahead.
You said it, what is my value? What is my purpose? And going to that deep moment, if you can just take us in a window, one of your darkest moments of despair. So I'm hearing that there's been times where there was so much emotional despair that you were like, what is the purpose? Why am
Absolutely.
I here?
It's really this, for me, the beginning of it just felt very heavy. So it just feels hard to breathe. So, I mean, that was one of the first things that I kind of noticed with a depression was, you know, I would honestly have a hard time, you know, it felt like something was sitting on my chest. And so, you know, typically I'd lie down and then it would get to the point where the depression would go so deep I couldn't move. So I'd be catatonic. You know, I speak about this in the book as well. So, you know, I kind of broke it into stages. And, you know, when you're in that, you know, really dark place, you're sitting back and you're going, you're kind of analyzing where you are. And I have my neurostyle wants to be somewhere all the time. So I'm very impatient with time. So I'm trying to learn how to accept that time is on my side and it's my friend instead of my enemy, which is a struggle. It's a daily one, but it's helping. But when I was in those dark places,
you just said something really profound about time. So I know you're about to talk about the dark place, but from your neurostyle understanding of you, can you give the listeners a window into time and how that relates to your OCD and being flexible and adaptive versus restrictive?
Absolutely. I mean, time for me is absolutely a vital, it's something that's left out when people are speaking about mental health, their perception of time. For me, you know, when I am looking at my day, it always feels like I wake up behind. And some of that is, you know, the anxiety that I deal with. I'm sure a lot of it is that. Some of it's the OCD. And some of it is just, you know, looking at what I'm capable of doing and knowing I'm, you know, what I'm able to do. And at the same time going like, why am I where I'm at? And I think that's a question a lot of people ask themselves is, why am I stuck in this place? And the key aspect of that is I was never stuck. I was literally choosing to stay stuck because I didn't believe I was deserving of more. And that is, you know, I had all of these wonderful people when I wrote the first book that, you know, spoke to me and said, listen, you need to do life coaching. You need to do this. Because I was a study coordinator. So when before I wrote the book, we started having case studies that came in that were recalcitrant, meaning they, of course, for the listeners, they didn't respond to any medication. So they were really extreme cases of bipolar one. Some of them had, you know, schizophrenic tendencies. And they were really extreme cases. And the psychiatrists and everybody else had kind of given up on them and not given up on them, but they were desperate. So they sent us sent them to the doctor I was working with, and I had to deal directly with the patients. And anything that was outside of the scope medical that needed to, you know, immediate attention, they had to either call 911 or, you know, the reach out to the doctor immediately. But that was kind of the beginning of a journey that I kept pushing away. People kept saying, you know, do this, go help people, go talk to people, teach them how you've overcome this. And I honestly always felt so bad about who I was. I was like, nobody wants me as a coach. Nobody would want to listen to what I can offer them or my advice. And it's been kind of a push and pull for so long. And I'm finally at that place where I'm going, I know where I'm at. And I know I'm finally actually deserving of happiness, success, love, joy, all of the things that I really believe matter in this life. And it took me a long time, much longer than I like to admit, to even realize that. And, you know,
you said a lot there. So for all of us, there's a series of crisis, stabilization, and thrives. And Kirk is taking us on his journey and his newest book, you know, Chaos to Cured, and kind of 10 years later. But I find in my practice with my patients, whether someone has bipolar, generalized anxiety, depression, or anyone, you don't have to diagnose this. It can be a traumatic relationship or a recent loss. Like, I'll give you an example. Right before this show, I opened up my mail. And it said that if you did not change your address on your business account, please contact us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't change my address on my business account. Was that because I forwarded my mail? And I went to what I would call a trauma trigger or a soul imprint, because I've had someone commit huge fraud. And I, right away, my mood state went to, oh my gosh, should I move the show? Should I not? I'm like, Denise, it's probably nothing. Stay calm. So when someone has a mental health challenge and they've had bipolar or ADHD, or I had someone in my two people this week that have had bad situations with previous bosses, and now they're 1 year later with their boss and they're trying to trust that everything's going okay, trust that they're happy, trust that it's okay. So when I was listening to your story about, am I worthy and do I deserve happiness, I wanted to make note for all of us that if we've had many years of any torch, like when, you know, when people have made it through war, or like, I just want to do sacred pause for those that are in Ukraine, you know, the amount of trauma that people are feeling, or if you've had a suicidal state, or if you've lost a relative, or if a boss was toxic and narcissistic. When Kirk was explaining that he's having this realization and aha moment right now, I deserve to be happy. I think there's a lot of really figure out for all of us how to be in the moment of now and be aware of our neurostyle, be aware of any trauma we've had so that we can be in the moment of now to have the best level of either stability, inner peace, or joy. So do you get what I'm saying? It's almost like the mind and the soul has a scorecard for so many years of it not being okay. And then realizing, oh my gosh, wait, I do have stability. Cause I have people that feel like, when's the shoe going to drop off? You know, my mood's good, or my boss is nice, or wait, I haven't had fraud in a while. So does this resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. Especially your last statement about the soul versus the mind. Honestly, I did a post yesterday on Instagram, and I think I specifically said, you know, I felt like, you know, it was kind of a battle between my mind saying, this is what you deserve, and my, you know, the deepest parts of me, whatever people want to call that, your inner light, your soul, whatever.
Your higher self. Pain. Your my higher self. Was, your, yeah. Your self that's above you, that's looking down and watching over you. Some people look at that, you know, your own higher self, your own guardian angels. If you believe in the possibility, I'm not saying you, Kirk, but if anyone believes in the possibility that we're here as energy beings, you know, I can say for one, I feel like your energy being in mine have been connected from Colorado to California, because the times I get those, oh, call Kirk or do this, it's like I was tagging off an emotional state that, like, and then I call you and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're just calling. So your higher state's your own, like, but we all are connected. So there's the unseen energy of the quantum universe. So it sounds like you're really tapping in to your own higher self being your own best friend right now.
Well, I think depth of self-understanding really helps me. And, you know, it's taken a long time for me to start realizing that, you know, one of the reasons I'm successful with teaching violin and is because, one, you know, as they come to me, I like helping people. I think for me, it's a way to kind of make amends for the problems I caused in the past. So in some ways, you know, I feel like it's a scorecard. Okay, check, got to help this person. And,
oh my goodness. You know, I just thought of something. Okay, maybe at some point, and we haven't done this yet because you and I talked about maybe having you and your mom. I think it'd be cool to have you and your mom on the show to talk about some stuff, if it's right. By the way, I'm not trying to just throw this at you. You don't have to say yes or no right now. But
I think it'd be great.
Okay.
Getting that secondary perspective is so nice, because a lot of times, you know, I think the biggest compliment that I continue to receive now is a lot of people that come to me and work with me now. When they read the book, I had a physician's assistant.
This who book, was, the one that the newest one?
Yes. Yeah, so Chaos to Cure.
By the way, can you give everyone a synopsis? I know I read the back of it, but do you want to just like give yourself a absolutely shout out for that book right now and then describe what this person said?
When I originally wrote it, I actually did win Editor's Choice for that book. And
the first one, correct?
Exactly.
And by the way, I have an interview with you that I'm going to put in a link from that book. So there.
Well, that'll be fun. Okay. So a lot of things.
Everyone can go back and listen. I know, but it's fun. I just actually, my neurostyle is collecting all the links just now. I'm going to let everyone listen to you then and now.
It's fun to, I'm kind of going to have to listen to both of those, because it'd be interesting to hear the difference. I know with what I wanted to write about was, you know, I still take medication, and for anybody out there, you know, please speak with your doctor. It's really important to make sure you follow medical protocol, and because it's there for your safety. So what I write about in the book is pretty much, I just couldn't accept the fact that all of these experts around the world kept saying, listen, there's no way you're ever going to be able to do this. You're never going to be okay. You're going to struggle for the rest of your life. And that just wasn't something I could accept. And so I researched, and since I didn't go to, you know, medical school, I wasn't taught how to research from, you know, a specific linear way. I was looking everywhere. So I would look at psychiatrist journals. I would look at, or psychiatry journals. I would look at endocrinology journals. And I started finding all of this crosstalk between all of these experts. And they were saying the same things about different states, symptoms that all matched up. And so I started a journey of, you know, pretty much a very risky one. And again, this is why you want to work with a doctor and don't do what I did. And I say that in my book. I started self-experimenting with, you know, let's try this out. And I did stumble. And of course, all of my choices were made with, you know, research and, you know, my best guess. But they were risky. And I did stumble onto something that helped myself. And then, you know, we were only able to get to around, I think 28 or 30 people before we had to go to full clinical trials. But out of that, we had an 80% success rate with the medication I now utilize. It's off label, but getting people to full remission. And, you know, that number is huge, especially for bipolar one and bipolar two, any form of that. It's just such a severe mental condition. So I write about my journey, kind of going through it, what it felt like. And I kind of break up the manic stages. I break up the depressive stages, what they feel like. And I really wanted to write it from a perspective where I'd already healed. So I was able to reflect back on what those felt like, because all of the bipolar books that I had read were written by people that were still on the same medications. They were still having the same struggles. They kept saying, you know, it stays with me. I keep running into this. And one of the things that I wanted was family members to be able to read and grasp, okay, this is what mania feels like. So this is a buildup. This is a normal stage. Then there's the hypomania. Then there's mania. And I think I broke each one up into 3 to 5 stages. And then, of course, there's that crash at the end, and where people just tumble down into a deep depression. And, it was there for people, for family members, really to understand so they can empathize and be compassionate with a family member, a loved member, loved one, a friend, you know, whoever they know that's dealing with a condition like that.
So from a timing standpoint, I think, because I know that, like, you're going to laugh, but I find that the shorter the show, the more people listen. And I feel like the stuff you have to say is so power packed. What you just said is really this newest release book is honoring your first book, but then saying what happened next. So it's also a book of hope. So in this journey of your own crisis, stabilization, and thrive, it gives your awareness of your mood states. And then looking, I think it's really empowering too for people to remember that, like you just said, talk with your doctor. But when you're on your own journey of best level of mental wellness, I believe you should be open to all the tools in the toolbox that make you well. So, and I know that's where you're a real champion of holistic health. You have won awards with your fitness, your nutrition, your art. You also, from what I know, are just such a loving uncle. And I think for everyone listening, this book is really inspiring. And there's going to be more of Kirk, not only on this series, but he's also amazing, giving amazing tips and tools. And we'll put some show in the show links for, I love Tiffany Werner. So Kirk is not only an author, but he is wanting to say, hey world, here I am, because his voice does matter. And you can hear how amazing it is. I mean, I want to just do like another show right now with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Kirk, is there anything else you want to say about that book? Or do you think we did a good job of honoring that book? Cause did you wanted to give us that feedback that someone said about it?
I had the main feedback, that I've gotten, you know, I wrote the epilogue, and I sent that off to one of the individuals that read my book at the very beginning. So I sent it off to the person who wrote the foreword. So it's Dean P. Stull. And it took a long time to get him to even look at the data and talk with me, just because he's well known. He started Hauser Pharmaceuticals. He invented Taxol, which is the most widely used chemotherapy drug on the planet. So for him to write the foreword for me was a big deal. I sent him the epilogue, and I got this wonderful email back from him. And, you know, he said, you know, I think the word that he had at the very end was sore, you know, and I love that word because it's what I'm ready to do. And there's so many people out there that are kind of trapped and feeling like, you know, they're stuck in a specific place. And, you know, I want everyone to know, you know, we're there for a reason. And I know sometimes people don't like to hear, you know, things happen for a reason. For me, I like to believe that a lot of the things, some of the most horrific and tragic things that have happened to me were very profound, and they helped me find who I wanted to be.
Just tag off of that when you say things happen for a reason? You know, what my understanding is that we're here on planet Earth as human beings for a very time-limited epoch. And once we realize that our feeling states, this is different than talking about diagnoses. All of us have feeling states in the moment of now that our energy of our words, thoughts, and actions carry a vibrational frequency. So what you're talking about, which I think a lot of people get upset, is when someone's reached such a level of suffering, whether it be feeling like they want to kill themselves, maybe they've had trauma or incest, or they lost family members to murder. It's really hard when someone says, oh, everything happens for a reason. You want to like actually punch the person, right?
Absolutely.
But I think when we look at the linear language, any one statement you and I could say on the show could be misinterpreted if you don't have the context around it. And so that journey of what you've described in your book and on other shows is that you are looking at it as the nuggets of the feeling experiences and the suffering. Go ahead. Do you want to tag off of what I'm saying now?
I loved what you said, because you brought up the reason I was cautious and with that statement is because there are people out there that go through such like horrible circumstances. And for me, you know, when I wanted to end my life, and you know, when I did not, you know, take my own life, you know, that was something that was, you know, horrific on a level that is very hard to explain to someone else. So the things that I went through were so traumatic. There's only two ways I could really go, and face it. One, I could run from it, or two, I could face it head on and say, how can I use this experience to grow? How can I make this to make myself a better human being, to put myself in a better situation, to understand myself better and to be happier?
So I love that. And that's profound for all of us, because we all have moments of crisis and then suffering. So when Kirk just said that, I think that what I love about you, Kirk, in this book, and I want to, in our next show that we do, give justice to your other book, because we don't have time today, but the feeling states of going into your own suffering, looking back, I think for me, on days when I'm having other moments that are days that feel like mini sufferings, I can remember and call upon the hope that another day can feel better. So I think the other thing I love about when people share their stories like yourself is people can relate and go, oh my goodness, look at Kirk. He's teaching violin. He's such an amazing uncle. He's so articulate. He's so bright. And by the way, I have one of your paintings just hanging up right in my kitchen. And so when I have pieces of artwork in my house, and I'm so honored to know Kirk, that when I look at the vibrational frequency of his artwork, I not only look at the art, but I think it gives me hope. Like, wow, you know, not only do I know Kirk, but I'm excited to work with him to reach more people. But I look at it as his alchemy in motion. When we go from crisis to stabilization and thrive, our creative arts, our fitness routines, our loving words, our prayers to one another, that's alchemy in motion. We all have times of despair, but then there's different things we have to be mindful when someone has bipolar or a more severe mental health challenge. And by the way, I barely even with my patients, Kirk, use the terms with them. I don't even, yeah. I just talk with them. I'm not like, you and your bipolar, no, because their feeling states, I find the most creative people in my practice and my friends have, you know, NeuroStyles, which you and I are going to do deeper and deeper and more shows and stuff with Kathleen and just collaborations with Tiffany and everyone I've ever worked with. Shout out to all of you, right? Because all of our feeling states matter. And it's really cool when you don't feel alone anymore. When did you start feeling less alone and more connected, that you weren't alone in your suffering?
I would say, probably, it was probably like maybe 5 or 6 years ago where I suddenly started to feel gears shifting. I still felt very alone. And part of that is just because there's no one on earth that's taken the medications for my condition for as long as I have. So I don't have anyone to talk to, that is literally able to kind of converse and have some discussions where I feel understood. There's some of the people that were in the case studies, in the pilot program, that, I get a phone call from a mom every once in a while. Like last Christmas, I got one, and one of the individuals is thriving and doing really well, has held a job. He was one of the few people that wasn't, laid off during the pandemic, and she was ecstatic. And so she called me just to thank me.
Before you're talking about a study that no one knows what that is.
Yes. Yeah, so that was for, the medication and the protocol, and the discovery that I made in the book, that I was asked to write.
Do we want to do like another mini discussion on that on another show to really give it the reverence it needs?
Do you think we even need to? Cause it's
maybe not just read the book. And also I think Kirk's point is use scientific method. He wants the integrity of his own journey. He has insight that for his journey, these tools in the toolbox work for him. He loves science. He loves creativity. So thank you for saying that. I think we even mentioned that way back when we did our very first interview together, that you have to really work with your doctor. So Kirk, right here, more towards the end, on a creativity level and discussing, your book that was just released, is there anything else you want to say about that or any parting words on this interview today?
I had a student that had to interview me for a class project. And he said, what are two things that, or what are some things that you'd say to someone young? And, to me, if you understand yourself, if you really love yourself, you're happy with the person you are, and you're content in the moment, pretty much anything is possible. But before any of us can ever move on and reach the success or the dreams or the happiness we are all searching for, the first step we have to make is realizing that we are, number one, worthy of it. Number two, we should love ourselves for the person that we are. Yes, we all have flaws, but those flaws make us beautiful. Anything perfect, there's nothing perfect in this whole world. You have two snowflakes, you have two blades of grass. If you just look at nature, there's nothing that's exactly the same, nothing that's absolutely perfect. And that's okay. So once we love ourselves, once we're happy with ourselves, then we can dive into the next step, which is, what's going to bring us more of that? What can we do to enhance our life? And if we take those steps, then it's just a matter of being happy with time and being patient, which I'm not so great about doing, but I'm working on it.
I have to tell you something. When I changed the start time of our appointment by 5 minutes, I wasn't trying to mess with you. I just thought of that. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just thought I'd add some cheeky humor. Did it mess with you or was it okay? Or,
One of the things that
I didn't mean to do it, by the way, I literally just wanted to read your book and hold it in my hand and drink coffee and do my moment of now, because I made the mistake of opening that piece of mail that stressed me out about fraud. And I didn't want to put that energy. This is a good example that I'm telling people at the end. Of being, how do you, like, we're talking about how to be in the moment of now and inner peace, but I'm giving you a breakdown. And so I thought I will be a much better person for you and I on the show if I just gave myself a deep breath. So did you, when you saw that I did change the time, did you recalibrate, or what was that like?
What I've learned is that there's two kind of things that, you know, most people, when they're dealing with mental health, I would say everyone, we all have certain things we like, and then we have the way the world works. And the one thing that I have learned over and over and over again is that, you know, with my OCD, there's certain expectations I have that just are unrealistic to put on other people. So part of dealing with mental health and dealing with who I am and my own neurostyle is understanding that the only way that I can really fit in and be happy with myself is to also be open to other people's experiences. Because if I put everybody on my expectations, then I'm literally forcing my neurostyle, my beliefs, my issues onto somebody else. So I've been really working hard on being more flexible with time, being more flexible with changes in my schedule. I'm still not good at it. And with that one, like 5 minutes, not a big deal, but you know, there are days when everything changes and I feel lost. And
yes,
and that is a challenge. And then what I typically do is, just like you mentioned, I'll sit back. I'm trying to get better. I give great advice. I don't always take it myself, but working out is a great place for me to just go and de-stress. Eating healthy, getting to bed at a consistent time, even on the weekends, you know, not staying up. And those are things that, you know, I've had to consciously work on just to make sure I have every advantage.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like you'd mentioned earlier, all the holistic ways, phenomenal tools.
Kirk, I asked that question just to show an in vivo example of knowing your neurostyle, knowing my neurostyle. And so once you have this awareness of your style, do I have anxiety? Do I have time issues? Am I impulsive? Am I this? The more we have awareness and then our own self-love, then we can have the highest level of communication with one another. So I did that on the cuff, just asked you that question. So Kirk, thank you. It's an honor to know you and your books, your creativity and your wisdom and your hope. Can you let everyone know where they can find you?
Absolutely. So I have chaos2cured.com, which is the number two chaos, the number two cured. And that's pretty much all my social media handles too. So Twitter, it's like at chaos, the number two cured. So chaos2cured. Same thing on Instagram, Facebook. So please feel free to reach out if anyone has, you know, questions. I always try to make myself available, especially for things like this. And as far as the books, where you can find those are on Amazon.
And you know what? Can you send me the links? I'm going to put the links in the show notes, and then they're going to be on Amazon at Chaos to Cured, Kirkpatrick Miller. And the book is, there's two books of Chaos to Cured, book one and two. And then I'm sure spontaneously in one of our other shows, I want to integrate the Dawn of Davna as well. So Kirk, thank you. I'm excited and honored to know you. Thank you for being on the show again. I'm also really grateful and excited to see where things go, where we can make your work and, you know, your life coaching practice that's in evolution, and any workshops and books that we're going to be doing together. Thank you, everyone. And thanks, Kirk. Have a good week.
It's an honor. Thank you.